she oversaw the growth and development of alternative travel programs, study seminars, and fact-finding human rights delegations to 40 destinations around the world. Malia has facilitated many tours that focus on international relations, human rights, political economy, sustainable development, women's issues, and the resilience of indigenous communities. Malia is also involved with many local environmental and human rights groups in the Bay Area. She serves on several advisory boards, including the Board for Ethical Traveler, Food First, Bay Area Green Tours, and Thrive Gulu. She works as a consultant for established and emerging tourism companies. 1 year ago, Malia launched Altra Vistas, a foundation that promotes transformational philanthropy in the travel industry through mesofinancing programs, professional fellowship programs, and a socially responsible and ecologically conscious customized tour program. Jeff Greenwald is an award-winning journalist, photographer, and author. His writing career began in 1979 when he reported on his experiences at a refugee camp during the Cambodian Civil War. Since that time, he has traveled throughout the world reporting on prison labor in China, female circumcision in Africa, human rights in Tibet, wildlife stewardship in Vietnam, and coral reef conservation from Belize to Palau. Greenwald is also hailed as a worldwide web pioneer for creating the first internet travel blog in 1994. His books include Shopping for Buddhas, The Size of the World, and most recently, Snake Lake, set in Nepal during the 1990 democracy revolution. Jeff is the executive director of The Ethical Traveler, a nonprofit organization dedicated to exploring the ambassadorial potential of world travel. Please join me in welcoming Malia Everett and Jeff Greenwald.
Thank you all so much for coming out tonight. It's really a great pleasure to see everybody, and a special welcome, of course, to our distinguished guests from around the world who are here to celebrate their country's achievements. It's really hard to get this award, and I just want to say I'm extremely impressed with the countries that received it this year. About 100 years ago, Rainer Maria Rilke said, "I live my life in widening circles that reach out across the world." I think that's become so literally true in this day and age. All of us live our lives, and the cocoon that we sort of once existed in or traveled in has just expanded. We blog, we use our smart devices, we talk to our friends in our ever-widening social networks, and our impressions and the friendships we make around the world or at home just spread out. And in some ways, the experiences we have as human beings are just expanding to fill the shape of their whole container, which is the planet Earth. We live in extremely interesting times that way, really rare times of personal influence on every part of the world. Ethical Traveler was founded in 2003 with a very simple idea that the people who love to travel the world, and I think all of us have done some world traveling, that all of us who have been out there feel a really extraordinary sense of stewardship towards the planet. One of my favorite quotes in the travel literature is a quote from a book called Shooting the Bow by Tracy Johnston, at which at one point, deep in the Amazon, she just remarks to herself, "How could I be lost? I was right here on planet Earth." And I think a lot of us share that sensibility wherever we go. Our goal is to empower travelers to change the world. And one of the ways we can do this is by what we call voting with your wings and visiting places where our travel dollars help protect cultures and sustain the planet. All of our winners share that distinction. So each year, Ethical Traveler pours through a list of the 175 odd developing countries in the world. We only look at developing countries. And after months and months of research, we narrow it down first to about 25, and then to about 15, and then to about 12, and finally, just doing this amazingly brilliant surgical research with a team of 30 researchers all over the world, we get it down to 10 winning countries. And these are the countries that are doing the very best job of protecting their environment, safeguarding human rights, caring for animals, and building a civil society. I just want to say that If any of you are interested in the work we do at Ethical Traveler and want to get involved, we're an all-volunteer organization, and we rely entirely on personal contributions. So if you want to be part of us and our organization in any way, please speak to me or one of our reps during the reception that follows, and we'll steer you towards a good way to be involved with us. So I finally want to say, before I let Malia up here, that no country in the world is perfect. Those of you who've studied any country, especially and particularly the United States, know that even the most developed and advanced westernized countries have plenty of issues. That's certainly true of all the developing countries in the world, and it's also true of the 10 countries that made our list. No country is without its problems. Last year, we actually called each country out on the places where they needed improvement. This year, we're not going to do that. We'll gladly give the country reps. In fact, we'll insist that they take a bullet listed of points of places where they can improve. But today, for the purposes of this event, we are here to honor the achievements of these countries. And for a few words about the importance of travel, I'd like to turn the microphone over to Malia Everett.
Yeah. All right. All right. Can everybody hear me well in the back? Wonderful. Thank you. I'm just going to stay in my seat if that's okay and just try to engage with you. Thank you. So, yeah, Jeff, thank you so much for sharing this space with me. I'm honored to serve on your board and to continue to work with you. And I also want to thank Christina and the entire staff of the Commonwealth Club for their incredible energy and efforts and their hosting this event with us tonight. And, of course, to honor all of you, thank you so much for making the time to come out to join us and to really celebrate those that are on the front lines of promoting the right kind of travel. And also just to the Ethical Traveler staff. I haven't even met all of the incredible researchers that are involved with this, but we do a lot of incredible work, and I know that we'll share the reports about that later. So as somebody who's been, you know, supporting and creating trips, you know, for almost two decades now that are socially responsible and ethical, it's vital. Ethical travel, you know, for the next century as we move into modern tourism is absolutely imperative. We want to vote with our wings. And what do we mean when we say we want to vote with our wings? Well, of course, you know, we always talk about both people and place, the best practices, both socially and making a positive impact, and also, of course, ecologically. But why is this important? Well, tourism is not a fluff or leisure industry. The travel industry is booming. It's huge. And I'm going to run through a few statistics just to really frame what we're talking about. So currently, 9% of the global domestic product is related to tourism. 1 in 3 jobs globally are provided by the travel industry. 6% of global exports account for, of course, those of us working in travel. International tourism receipts have exceeded $1,159 billion worldwide this last year in 2013, and it will grow in between 4 to 4.5% this year, 2014. All of these statistics, by the way, are provided by the United Nations World Tourism Organization, if you want to fact check. In 2012, it's really important to note this milestone. We had over 1 billion international travelers, and that number will exceed 1.8 billion by the year of 2030. So again, we're looking at big, big growth numbers. It's even hard to think about what that means. And it's not just North Americans, Europeans traveling anymore, just business travelers. We're talking about, you know, the emerging middle class in the BRIC countries, in Brazil, in Russia, in India, China, et cetera, that are also taking these incredible eco-adventures or travel and vacations and holidays around the world. I want to mention why this is really important for us to focus on the emerging economies is because by the year 2030, 57% of the market share in travel is actually going to be in these emerging economies. So it's really important that countries like our top 10 are setting the precedent and establishing the standard for countries in the future. There is, of course, a big problem, and those of you who know me personally know that I'm always on my soapbox about the underbelly of travel, how it can be really, really awful to indigenous cultures, undermining the well-being of historic and archaeological sites, commodify, you know, children for sex tourism. But also capital flight. And for me, you know, it's one of the really important things that we take a look at leakage. And what do I mean by that? Well, in cases of like the Caribbean, for example, with coastal resort tourism or cruise ship tourism, Jeff and I were talking about this earlier today, up to 80% of the tourism dollars that you pay for those packages actually leave the country. They leave back or they fly back to the global north. They don't really stay in the country to benefit the local economy. And that's even higher in African countries, where it's 85 to 90%, and 70% in cases like Thailand and other areas of Southeast Asia. So we have to look where the money goes in order for us to be really, truly ethical. I can go on and on about other kinds of leakage, but I won't for time's sake. But I do want to summarize why we mean what we mean by vote with your means. It means that tourism and those of us in the industry and those of us that love to travel for personal development, to share with our family members or to educate ourselves or to transform ourselves, we need to make the right choices. And tourism is a huge industry with an incredible opportunity in the future to help meet UN World Millennium Goals, and that's what we're really honored to be, of course, presenting and supporting tonight with our top 10. Thank you.
So is this microphone working? Can everyone hear me? Good. So we're just going to get right to the countries now, and I'm going to just tell the country reps who are here. We're still waiting for the Consul General from Chile, and I know that they're running a bit late. Are you here? Sir, please take your seat in the front. Let's give Chile a little premature hand just while he makes his way up here. Thank you. Consul General, sit right there. Thanks. Great. I'm so glad you could make it. I know that the... Okay. Not making anyone self-conscious here. So the first country is an island nation off the west coast of Africa, off the coast of Senegal. And this is an extraordinary island of great beauty named Cabo Verde. And when I tell you the reasons, we have a long list of why each of these countries has won this year. And I'm only going to give you a couple of examples from each country. But just imagine how hard it is for a small society, or especially a large one like us, to achieve some of these goals. And it's just super, super impressive. Cabo Verde has abolished the death penalty and decriminalized homosexuality completely at this point. Their standard of living is higher than that of most African nations, and Cabo Verde is one of the most politically liberal nations of the African continent, as well as in the entire world. In December of 2013, after we'd made our 214 decisions, and Cabo Verde also won last year, the Cabo Verde National Assembly approved a new law called the Status of Children and Adolescents to improve efforts toward combating child labor and violence against children. And again, when we look at these countries, we don't look at everything they've done in the past 20 years. We look specifically at the past year. Winning last year wasn't enough. Cabo Verde has actually, like all the winning countries, improved everything they've done and taken it another step forward to win this year. And I would like to congratulate the representative from Cabo Verde. Do we have a rep here? Yes. Would you like to please get up a moment and collect your award and bag over there? Nice. Thank you. Thank you. I think what I'll be doing is handing this mic down. Oh, you want to come up and say a quick word? Yeah, that works out better. Come on, say a word.
Do you want to go first? Or?
Yeah, okay. So how much time you give us? 2 hours?
Your time's half up.
So I start now, right? Good evening. My name is Domingos Fernandez. The picture you just saw there, that's my city. We have around 17 islands, but only 9 inhabited. The other of them, we find the birds, boat, and all stuff like that. So we have a beautiful place there. I was born and raised there and love my country. And I'm an immigrant. I've been here for 30-some years. And I'm here to represent our country, through our embassy in D.C. because our country is very poor and small. We've been under Portuguese rules under more than 550 years. So we took our independence in 1975. We're on our own. We were 30-some years of took independence. I have nothing against Portugal because my grandfather is from there. but we wasn't happy. We don't have much there. We don't have oil, nor diamond. What do we do? Need you to go to spend your money because everybody tourists. And what you do is tourists and fishing. That's what we have there. And also smile. That's what we have. So we are friendly. Let me ask you before we finish if you can help us out. In my island, there's a volcano there. It just erupted at 1951. It was strong. It came again in 1995. And 2009 was light. But two Sundays ago, on the 23rd of November, it was worse. He has one mouth where the lava came. Now he opened another one. It's going a different direction. But thanks to the European people and some African country help us out. Nobody get hurt. Nobody die. But it's still going. Still going, burning the soil, become a rock. So if you guys don't mind, and take at least 10 seconds silence just for those people and for my country, if you don't mind. Thank you. And I'm here with, she's also can help me to represent our country. She know more than travel than I do because we make one trip there. She's one organize that. She's going often with her church. She can tell you more about it. Before I go, we have a three association here. I used to be in San Francisco Bay Area. We have an association they call CVW, that's Cape Verdean Association. We have one in Sacramento where I am now because I moved there. That's called Cabo Verdean, Sociedad Cabo Verdean do Norte, California. There's another one in L.A., and she's from there. She can tell you more about it. I don't take much time. She's pushing me in the back. I'm talking too much. So now it's her turn.
I think that's all is left to say is thank you. It's been truly an honor to win this award.
Thank you. Why don't you collect your award okay. And your bag? And then Malia is going to say a few things about why Cabo Verde is so beautiful.
Hello. Just making sure. I just wanted to mention a few of the incredible highlights that people can enjoy while they're traveling there. And, of course, you know, you've seen some of the incredible pictures, and those of us last year, we got to hear about the incredible ecotourism activities. I just wanted to mention the three things to put on your bucket list if you go. So one is visiting, of course, one of the most beautiful islands of Cabo Verde, which is Santo Anto. Incredible flora and fauna, fabulous views, green valleys with plantations of all kind of delicious tropical fruits and mangoes, papayas, and also incredible places for walking and hiking, so not just beaches. There's also incredible music, and last year we were gifted some beautiful music and CDs. But there's an incredible cultural mix on the islands, and so there's traditional styles such as mornas, funana, coladera.
Yes.
Thank you.
Funana.
There you go. Rich musical tradition. So, you know, a lot of us know, of course, about the incredible music of Cesaria Ivora. And she's a very famous singer from there. So definitely for those of you who love music and culture, put it on your list. And then I just wanted to mention, you know, for those of you really involved with, conservation, the nighttime turtle conservation is also really compelling. They have one of the largest sites in the world of loggerhead turtles. And you have a really incredible and rare opportunity to witness them and learn more about these endangered species during a night excursion from the months of July through October. There's also, when you go there, you can support, for example, a local non-governmental organization like the Turtle Foundation. And they basically began in 1997 after over 1,100 female turtles were slaughtered for their meat as they came to a nest upon the shore. So in 2008, they saved their first beach, in 2010, their fifth, and their work and advocacy continues to grow. So it's a great place to learn and engage and be the right kind of ecotourist.
Thanks, Malia. So I just want to say that when after a country's name is announced, you can go pick up your certificate over there and then afterwards come up and say a brief word, okay? The next winner, of course, is the remarkable, beautiful country of Chile, one of the only two countries on this list that I've actually had the pleasure of visiting twice, both unforgettable trips. Chile has made enormous strides over the past year under the new presidency of President Bachelet. Is that correct, pronunciation? President Bachelet is absolutely an amazing president who's just pushing Chile so hard to be one of the best ethical destinations in the world. First of all, the country received the World Responsible Tourism Award for its Huilo Biological Reserve. It received the highest possible scores on the Freedom House rating and very high scores for press freedom. President Bachelet expressed her intention to reform the controversial anti-terrorism law and to guarantee the rights of all of Chile's indigenous people. She's also promoting a reduction in gender discrimination, and she's appointed half of her cabinet ministers, 50% of her cabinet ministers are now women. And she's also enacting laws to equalize women's pay and to equalize women's labor rights throughout Chile. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's this long list of tremendous progress that Chile has made in the past year. So it gives me great, great pleasure to award this year's Best Ethical Destination Award to Chile and Consul General Rolando Ortega, who is here to receive it. Consul, thank you so much. Then I'll go to you after. Do you wish to make a comment, Consul General? Okay.
Hello. Good evening to everyone. Thank you. First of all, I would like to say that thank you so much. I'm very proud to receive, on behalf of the government of Chile, this award given by Ethical Traveler. I just want to say that Chile is a relatively small country. We are just 17 million people. Our GDP is up, but we have done very well economically during the last 30 years, I would say. We have had an average economic growth of about 5.5% during the last 29 years, and that has made a difference, because if you grow 5.5% year after year, your economy grows. And now we have an income per capita of about $23,000. I'm shy to say, but I have to say that this is the highest of Latin America right now, if you measure it in terms of PPP, purchasing power parity. As at the same time that we had a very good economic performance, the Chilean society have realized that we need to work more in inclusiveness. And the current president, Michelle Bachelet, is pursuing very important social reforms. The first one is education, because we believe that education is the best way to promote the rights of all the people, and the people who have less skill can go up in the scale of the society. So at the moment, we are discussing a very important educational reform. And to finance that reform, we have recently approved a tax reform, because we need resources to finance education. So the idea is to provide public education and good quality public education for everyone. So everyone has the right to have a good public education. So Chile, I don't want to extend too much, but Chile is a very diverse country geographically. So the north is dry. We have the driest desert in the world, Atacama Desert. Dry and warm, I would say. The central region of Chile has a mild climate. It has a Mediterranean climate, similar to the one in the central region of California. There are five regions in the world that enjoy climate, enjoy a Mediterranean climate, and one of those is the central region of Chile. Then we have the south, which is rainy and cold, and we have lots of volcanoes, beautiful volcanoes, lakes, and also that is the land of the people who are already that were there before the Spanish came to Chile, the Mapuche people. And then we have the Patagonia and Antarctica. So as you can see, Chile is a very diverse country. So I don't want to extend more, but I would like to repeat that thank you so much for inviting me first here, and on behalf of the government of Chile, receiving this very important award. So thank you so much.
Malia, do you have some...
Yeah, I just was going to put a few images up there for you just quickly. So thank you. It really explained a lot of the incredible reasons and compelling reasons to go to Chile. But just a few really quick things to add on to your itinerary if you are going. I was putting my first program together for Alturistas de Chile a few months ago, and in The Guardian, I read a quote that said, when I was researching Valparaíso, it said, "Think mini Berlin by the seaside." And so definitely located in the Pacific coast in the central region of Chile is this beautiful city that's got incredible colored homes, and you can take a street mural class and really get engaged with the vibrancy and the local culture. In terms of some other bioreserves and things like that to put on your list, Los Pingüinos, the Penguins National Monument, is pretty incredible in southern Chile. It's home to 120,000 Magellanic penguins, so something to see if you're an animal lover. And of course, for stellar photography and landscape photography, the Valle de la Luna, the Valley of the Moon, is someplace not to be missed in the Atacama Desert. Breathtaking landscapes basically created over centuries of winds and flooding throughout the landscape of sand and stone. I can only do three. So Chile, thank you.
The next winner is a country that has won for several years in a row as well, the island country of Dominica. Dominica is an extremely socially advanced country. The Constitution guarantees freedom of the press and the judiciary. There's freedom of speech, full assembly and religion. Advocacy groups operate without any interference, and the internet is neither restricted nor censored by the government. These are things we sort of take for granted here. They are by no means the rule in developing countries around the world. Dominica's law prohibits any discrimination based on race, gender, ethnicity, color, or creed, and indigenous rights are protected both in law and fully in practice. So I want to congratulate Dominica, winning once again the Best Ethical Destination of 2015 award. And thank you. Before you speak, Rowena, I would like Malia to present some images of the country. So,
So just a quick few of course, highlights as well, not to miss when you're in Dominica, is the Boiling Lake. So one of the largest of its kind on the planet. It's a little hard to reach. You've got to hike for about 3 or 4 hours, but it's well worth it because when you do, you'll visit some incredible, incredible sulfur springs and a geyser park, and it's supposed to be just really incredible. So I definitely know I want to visit that very soon. The Tichá Gorge, another incredible ecotourism site we're recommending people see. It's a crevice in which both hot and cold streams intermingle, and these crystalline clean waters are supposed to be really, really spectacular to see. And it also has an incredible waterfall. So a great way to wash away your trek after you see the Boiling Lake. And lastly, I just wanted to mention, celebrate the Creole culture and the music. I was looking like where else to go for Carnival besides Rio de Janeiro this year. Well, why not go to Dominica? So February 16th and 17th, you can see the Mas Dominique, which is Dominica's carnival. And just to note, there's a national Island, a literary festival every year, a World Creole Music Festival. So lots of great things to check out on the island to balance out your ecotourism adventures. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of the people of Dominica, because the people of Dominica really is Dominica, a great big thank you. We pride ourselves in loving our island. It's 290 square miles and a country of 72,000 people, kind of a small town. But we love the land, we love the people, and we believe in a freedom of choice and a freedom of interaction. And that's just what Dominica is about. So getting this award, again, is very important for us, and also something that not only the government but the people really take pride in. So we are very thankful. And yes, celebrate Mass Dominique. We would say, Sakafet, welcome to our island. And we hope that you can visit at some point. It's a bit of a trek. Takes you a little while to get there, but you will never forget. They say that if there was one place that Columbus would return to and would remember, it would be Dominica, almost untouched, almost. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And again, everyone will have a chance to mingle with our country representatives at the reception following. I want to present our next reward to a perennial name on our list, the absolutely astonishingly progressive country of Lithuania. And but not yet, sir. Let's first praise Lithuania.
Yeah.
Perfect score from Freedom House on civil and political rights. The highest score of any one of our winning countries on UN's Human Development Index. Lithuanian government has finally opened an investigation into the secret CIA black sites in the country. And though the European Union has set a goal of 23% renewable energy by the year 2020, 23%, Lithuania is already at 22. So that's the kind of thing we're looking for. And I'd like Malia to just kind of quickly go through some of the sites of Lithuania.
Yeah, definitely. Of course, really compelling. Anytime you look at UNESCO World Heritage Sites, you have to look at Vilnius and Old Town within the country of Lithuania. Beautiful historical heritage site in Eastern Europe. It was built in the medieval era and is still known today to house just incredible authenticity and culture and food. So it's not to be missed. In terms of the Cape, we want to really highlight an area of just nature, and especially looking at incredible migratory corridors of birds in the Vente Cape. It's really, really an amazing place to be able to hike and to just really enjoy some eco-tourism. But perhaps before you go to explore Vente Cape, meet with the Lithuanian Ornithological Society in Vilnius Town, and you can learn more about the endemic species as well as the migratory species then. And lastly, if you go and you're really interested in culture, maybe check out the Sea Festival, Klaipėda. The city of Klaipėda is the only city in Lithuania that's on the ocean. And the festival was started in 1934 and attracts over 500,000 people a year now. The streets are filled with markets and street concerts and performances. And I think really interesting is that a lot of the attendees dress up as mythological sea creatures. So another compelling way to go. Yeah, bring your costumes with you.
Council, congratulations, Mr. Garrison. Congratulations once again.
Thank you. This is the third straight year for Lithuania to win this award, and I'd like to tell you that Lithuania is getting better every year. It is a small country. It is trying very hard to assimilate into the European Union. It has one what I would call challenge, and that it loves to stand up to Russia. They will not capitulate. They will not take a backward step. They have gotten some encouragement from the American government, but it's their nature to say, we are free. That's easy to say when you're 330 million people like us. It's a little harder to say when you're 3 million people surrounded by Russia, Belarusia, Poland, and Latvia, which is about 40% Russian. So they're very independent-minded people. They're very good people. And I would tell you that if you travel to Lithuania, the city of Klaipėda, which is on the Baltic Sea, you could easily spend 2 weeks seeing the sights there. You could go to Vilnius, which is the capital city. You could easily spend 2 or 3 weeks seeing the sights there. But get out of the big cities. It's a very easy-to-drive country. Go into the countryside and meet the people. They're fabulous people who may still be plowing their fields with a horse-drawn plow. The joke in Lithuania is the difference between a rich farmer and a poor farmer is that the rich farmer has two cows. They are hardy people. They got through the most recent economic downturn because they took austerity measures to heart. They said, we've suffered a lot worse than this. They are on their way back. This will be a good year to go to Lithuania because they won't get many travelers from Russia. They know that. They're willing to absorb that. They're cutting their value-added tax, so their hotel costs should go down. And I would tell you, do not be afraid. It's a difficult language, but everyone in Lithuania has one of these. Everyone. So when you get to a city and meet people, you can make friends very easily. If you get into the farthest little town in the countryside and you can't communicate, just call your friends in the capital city and say, would you explain to this person what I want? And they will do that, and you'll get back on the phone, and they will say this is what they want to give you. And it's a great experience. We have met so many wonderful people in the countryside, and it really makes you proud of thinking of what the United States was 200-300 years ago when we wanted freedom. So please go, and you'll have a wonderful time.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for coming in today. Have a glass of wine later.
On the other side of Africa from Cabo Verde is another island nation. It's actually east of Madagascar, and it's another country that's won our award several times, and that is the country of Mauritius. Mauritius has an amazingly diverse flora. There's over almost 700 species of flowering plants. More than 300 of them are found nowhere else but Mauritius. This country has established fishing reserves, marine parks, and has instigated a whole community-based coral farming program to combat the loss of coral reefs. There's an organization called the Heritage Foundation, and their Economic Freedom Index has found that Mauritius has the highest freedom score of any country in the African region, and it has been ranked number one in the Ibrahim Index of African Governance for the last 8 years. Malia, some reasons why people should actually visit?
Definitely. Well, if you love Mark Twain, let me give you a quick quote. You gather the idea that Mauritius was made first, and then heaven, and that heaven was copied after Mauritius. So, incredible quote to just start. The vistas are just stunning. The Grand Basin is one reason to go for those of you involved in loving eco-travel. It's a lake that's high up in the mountains at 1,800 feet above sea level, and it's also a sacred site and a Hindu pilgrimage site. There's a temple dedicated to Lord Shiva, and the people of the island believe it was filled with holy waters from the river Ganges in India once upon a time. And again, many still make their pilgrimages there, especially on the occasion of Maha Shivaratri. Another reason to go, the Black River Gorges National Park, a huge, huge national park, thick forest that's a home to over 300 species of flowering plants and all the incredible biodiversity we were just mentioning. So definitely bring your gear and enjoy an incredible hike. And then for those of you that love a little adrenaline kick, like I do at times, skydive Mauritius. If you're looking for thrills, why not a little adrenaline as you sport and jump out of a plane? So anyway, they look like they have some really incredible places, of course, for you to be able to dive from, with lush green forest and, again, those turquoise blue waters.
If I'm going to my diploma to my death anywhere, it's going to be Mauritius. Unfortunately, we have the representative from Mauritius was not able to make it this evening, so we'll go ahead to our next winning destination, a country that I have also visited and a place that I just, of course, I'd like to visit every country on this list, but my memories of Palau are just seared into my mind. It is one of the most spectacularly beautiful island countries I've ever visited. And as a scuba diver and as someone who loves culture in the developing world, Palau has an incredibly rich culture. And they just seem to do everything right year after year, building upon their progressive success year after year. Some of the things this year, Freedom House gave Palau a perfect score, like a Olympic 10 in the areas of civil and political rights. It has the lowest unemployment list of any country, the lowest unemployment rate of any country on our list. It's a matrilinear society. That means that property rights and money pass down through the female line. So gender inequality is very low. And also, as a direct result of that, Freedom House reports that domestic violence and child abuse, which is really a problem in a lot of developing countries, are very rarely reported, and that spousal rape, workplace discrimination against women, and any kind of sexual harassment are not just frowned upon, they're actually illegal. And these are just a few of the things that Palau has done in their social society. And Malia is going to talk about some of the reasons visually to visit Palau.
Definitely. Well, I mean, as we mentioned last year, so congratulations again, Palau. We really featured, of course, the incredible scuba diving, snorkeling sites, just the incredible channels and walls and different places for you to be able to explore. But I wanted to chat this time a little bit about jellyfish lakes. So there are 55 lakes and rock islands in Palau, and five of which have jellyfish. So why is that special? Well, these jellyfish, I think if you're able to swim with thousands and thousands of jellyfish without worry about getting stung, it's really incredible. So over hundreds of thousands of years, these jellyfish have been adapted to not have any predators and therefore not have a sting. So this is probably one of the unique places for you to have this incredible, incredible experience. So if you ever go to Monterey Bay Aquarium and love that site, well, take it a step further and jump on a plane or two or three to Palau. And then just in terms of that as well, I just want to say, you know, meet and engage with the Palau International Coral Reef Center. A lot of people really don't scuba dive and don't get to see the incredible diversity underneath the ocean. And it's a way for you to see the aquarium that they run and house as a way of building education and advocacy projects and, of course, conservation for their marine life. So a great center to be able to support and to learn more about.
So we actually have a representative from Palau. Andy Lika is here, Honorary Counsel. Great to see you again, Andy.
Welcome. Thanks. You have to get a picture of Jellyfish Lake. It's first of all, the ocean water in Palau is 82 degrees year-round. There's over 200-foot visibility underneath the ocean. And when you get into Jellyfish Lake, just imagine getting into a big bowl full of Jell-O, because there are millions of jellyfish that just bounce off you from all directions, and with the light streaming through it. It's pretty incredible. So where is Palau? I know. So if you go to the southern tip of the Philippines, 500 miles due east are about 347 islands. And you saw some of them, the rock islands. And not many of them are inhabited. So you can, at least not now, they were 3,000 years ago, but you can go see incredible sites there, petroglyphs. Also, you know, Jeff mentioned it's a matriarchal society. I get smiles from women when I say that, you know, because you know you can't screw up a country when women are telling you what to do and how to spend the money. And it's true. It's an ancient chiefdom system there, but the chiefs and all of the big decisions are made by the women, but democratically elected officials. Lastly, I'd just like to say this. I'm humbled to represent President Ramengesau and Ambassador Hersey Kyoto. As all of you, I've noticed great places come about not by accident, but by tremendous leadership. And when you look at the folks of Palau, they're not looking at themselves. They're not even looking at their children. They're looking at people they've never seen into the future and saying, what type of a society would we like to create for them? And what can we do about that right now, today? So banning shark finning, the first place in the world, as well as setting up these environments in the ocean, 80% of it, the marine life, so there's no industrial fishing, protecting lands, over 20% of it. And lastly, I think this leadership comes down to being inspired by people like you in your countries, because we like to see the best of the best out there, and I think we've seen that so far with a lot of these announcements here, and we hope to improve in the future. Thank you.
My mic fell?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, let me disentangle myself. So our next winning country is Samoa. Do we have a representative from Samoa? Okay, great. Now, Samoa is, of course, sort of in the triangle of countries with Fiji and Samoa and Tonga. It's way out in that part of the world. You have to, I think, fly to Australia or New Zealand to actually visit Samoa via Guam or something. But it's an amazing country, and the more we looked into Samoa, the more all our researchers agreed that it really deserved the award this year. Tremendous commitment to forest conservation. New national parks and marine reserve areas. Samoans have become leaders in the fight against climate change, promoting renewable energy, biodiversity, and conservation. They actually passed something that you'll really, again, very rare in developing nations, a major legislation on rights for the disabled this year. If some of you have seen some of these pictures of these countries, it's not always easy for disabled people to get around. And passing legislation in favor of disabled people is a huge step. And perhaps most interestingly, there is a part of Samoan culture called the Fafafine. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. These are men who live as women, and they're generally considered a third sex in the Samoan culture. And basically, as of this year, it is legal in Samoa for a man to dress as a woman. And that may seem like a small thing, but here's a whole subculture of people on that island who suddenly can come out of the closet and be exactly who they are. And we think that's an absolutely wonderful step forward, and we applaud Samoa for taking it. And Malia will give a couple of examples of reasons why you should also visit Samoa, no matter how you dress.
All right. So members, pack lightly, just one suitcase if you can. No, thank you, Jeff. There are many, many incredible highlights in Samoa, of course. You know, ways to look at Samoa and think, okay, it's the beaches, the beautiful beaches. But we also wanted to highlight for you the Palolo Deep Marine Reserve. It's a shallow coral reef, which provides really easy access to a hole filled with marine life. So for those of you that want an incredible opportunity to perhaps teach your loved ones how to snorkel, this could be a perfect space for that. You can also visit the Robert Louis Stevenson Museum and the Mount Va'aia Reserve. Okay, so where hasn't he lived? Yeah, now you know. He is also in Samoa. And lastly, just, you know, if you're able to travel to a place and enjoy the incredible beauty, think about engaging with the Samoa Conservation Society. They work with local communities to raise awareness around Samoa's unique cultural heritage, as well as the impending threats sometimes on flora and fauna in the area. So Samoa, thank you.
Amanda Ladd, would you like to?
Thanks. Hi, everyone. As you may have guessed, I am not Samoan. However, I am really honored to be here on behalf of the country and the Tourism Authority to accept this award. Great things have happened with the country this year. Just a couple months ago, we were host to a UN conference, the Small Island Developing States Conference, and it was great for the country to be able to showcase the infrastructure for the country and how the people and the small islands can really grow and develop in a way that reflects this award. So that was really exciting for us. Of course, the culture of the islands is what really makes it unique and special. Fa'a Samoa is the culture that governs the people. And what it is essentially living in harmony with nature. So it perfectly sets us up to be an ethical destination. When you're there, you arrive and your family immediately. You see the way that people interact with the country around them and how much they love and preserve it today. It's really quite a small country. It's about 5 hours to drive around the main island. But the spirit of the people is just magnificent. And so I'm really honored to accept this on behalf of the people. And we hope you get down there because it really is a stunning country. Thank you. Thank you.
The first country in the world to enact a law that manages the seabed minerals within their national marine space. Tonga is another place where you might visit while you're visiting, after you visit Samoa. It's that great triangle of islands in that part of the world that accessible from Fiji. This is, I believe, the first year Tonga has made our list. It's really quite astonishing. We researched that country and we were all just raising our eyebrows going, really, Tonga? And yeah, really, Tonga. And an incredible amount of integrating local knowledge of plants and weather warnings, weather pattern observations, with scientific observations to help local communities prepare and adapt to the inevitable effects of climate change. So taking indigenous and scientific wisdom and putting them together in what's going to be sort of the new world order that we're all going to have to unfortunately face. Total freedom of the press. Criticisms of the government appear regularly in the Tonga newspapers, including those that are owned by the state. I'm not quite sure that we would even have that here. There's a new family protection bill, this always gets our attention, that includes provisions to safeguard victims of domestic violence. A big problem in a lot of the developing world. Tonga has taken a huge step ahead in that realm. So we congratulate Tonga, and Malia will talk about it briefly.
Yeah, one of the incredible, compelling, I think, visits for all of us, again, that love sea conservation is swimming with the Tongan tribe of humpback whales. This is a really unique opportunity. Of course, they really monitor how many people can do that. Or you can, of course, take other kinds of boats out and see these migrating whales. You can also engage with an organization called Whales Alive to learn about their ongoing efforts and advocacy. And working with different tour operators so that, of course, whale watching is a positive economic alternative in terms of, you know, taking care of what they have instead of slaughtering. Another important aspect, of course, is the traditional ancient Polynesian culture. You can visit the Ha'amangaha, Maui Trilithon, which is basically the South Pacific's quote-unquote Stonehenge. So many, many other kinds of cultural and ancestral sites as well that they've been able to steward. So Tonga.
There won't be a quiz. You can speak to the country representative during the reception that follows and actually write down these unpronounceable to us names. I think we're very fortunate to have the Acting Council General, Mrs. Sela Tukia, here to represent Tonga. What a great honor to meet you.
Congratulations.
Hi. Come on upstairs and say a word, if you will. I can't go too far. I'm tethered here to this mic. Would you like to say a word? Thanks. And again, this is the first time for Tonga, so we're just really thrilled to welcome you to San Francisco.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As has been mentioned, my name is Sela Tukia. I am the Acting Consul General of Tonga here in San Francisco. Very fond memories catching the BART in this evening. We used to be on Post Street just down the road, so I'm very familiar with the shopping around the neighborhood. Unfortunately, we had to move. I should say unfortunately. Fortunately, we've moved out to Burlingame in June of this year. Mainly for cost purposes, but it's quite nice. It's more central down there in the peninsula, and we're closer to our customer base. But just in case, we hope we might gauge your interest this evening. For some of you who might wish to include Tonga on your travel itineraries in the following year or so, we are based in Burlingame. You can Google us. We have a website, and I did bring some brochures this evening. We are delighted and extremely honored to be included for the first time by Ethical Travelers Destinations in the list, awardee list, and along with my fellow countrymen from the region, Samoa and Palau, and our other colleagues, extremely honored to be included. Tonga is not dissimilar to many of these other winners this evening. We're a very small country in the South Pacific. We're only 100,000 or so, and they say there are another 100,000 or so Tongans abroad, of which a good number are here in the United States of America, legally and not legally. Perhaps our most noteworthy Tongan national or Tongan origin here in America is Halo Tingata. For those of you who are NFL followers, who plays for the Baltimore Ravens. We are very proud of him, although I'm sure he has an American passport, but he is of Tongan heritage. We also lay claim to same things as some of our fellow winners here, you know, the sun, sand, and the beach. But when people give us a call and they're interested, they want to know a little bit more about my small island country, I like to tell them that, first of all, we are quite unique in the sense that we are the only island kingdom left in this planet. We lay claim, and we are very proud of our head of state, the King of Tonga, His Majesty King Tupou VI. And we are very proud people. We have a very rich culture and heritage, and it's underpinned in particular by Christianity. And I say this because we have fabulous church singing. And in addition to that, I think one of our main draws of the Tongans is our Tongan people. I don't know if you're aware of Captain Cook, also a very famous navigator for many moons ago. He actually called Tonga the Friendly Islands, and that is because Tongans are supposed to be very friendly people. We like to welcome all tourists who want to come to our country. Although tourism is not the mainstay of our economy, it's the second income source. The first revenue earnings for our country is the remittances which our Tongan people abroad send back. But tourism is a very close behind, and I'm sure after my little talk you'll be all very interested and keen to come and visit our small island country. But anyway, I won't take up too much more of your time. As I said, sun, sand, and beach, our people. We are an island kingdom, very proud people. Next year, 2015, I don't know if that was by coincidence, Jeff and Melia, but our king is having his coronation, so it's most befitting, and we are very honored to be receiving this award the same year that our king is being coronated. Incidentally, that's in July. It's a very nice time to come and visit. It might be too hot during your summer break. You might wish to take your families there, but we would welcome you, and I have a lot of information at the consulate for you. Thank you so much again.
Thank you. Malia and I will look forward to seeing our names on the guest list. As we don't have representatives from the final two countries, I'm just going to do them together in the interest of saving some time and getting to the wine table as quickly as possible. One of the countries, the two remaining winning countries, has been on the list before. That's Uruguay. Unfortunately, Uruguay was not able to send a representative. Uruguay is, again, astoundingly progressive, especially when it comes to LGBT policies, the most liberal LGBT policies in the region, complete decriminalization. Abortion is now legal and safe for all women. 30% representation of women in the government. Uruguay, as you may have read in the paper over the past couple of days, has decided to accept some of the detainees at from Guantanamo. And they're also accepting Syrian refugees and have a program in place to help those Syrian families make their way in their new country of Uruguay. 80% renewable energy at this point, aiming to become completely carbon neutral within a couple of years. Perfect scores, or almost perfect scores, for political rights and civil liberties, and equally amazing for press freedom. And I'll do the final one as well, and then we can see a few pictures. Our final winning country was not on the list, I don't think, previously, which is the island nation of Vanuatu. And in June 1913, again, the Council of Ministers agreed to reserve 30% of the parliament seats for women. There seems to be a growing movement here among these island nations, at least to get totally fair representation, or at least edging towards it. Vanuatu has the unique designation of being called the happiest country in the world, according to the no less than the Happy Planet Index, which focuses on life expectancy, experienced well-being, and ecological footprint. And finally, Vanuatu has made a lot of progress with a new land reform bill that supports indigenous rights. All leases of indigenous lands now require the prior and informed consent of organizations of the traditional indigenous landowners. So Vanuatu and Uruguay, both tremendously progressive countries, and our two final winners of this year's Best Ethical Destinations Award. Do you want to say anything about them?
Okay. Thank you, somebody. But Jeff, we need to.
Is that? Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Malia. Okay, before we wrap this up and go into the reception, and I hope you'll all stick around for some food and drink, I just want to thank very sincerely the Commonwealth Club and Christina Namath for being our host here again for the fourth consecutive year. This is a wonderful venue, and it's been a great honor to be a part of the Commonwealth Club community. I also want to thank the Global Citizens Association, which kindly donated the food and wine that we'll be enjoying tonight. The Natambia Foundation has helped support Ethical Traveler, which, as I mentioned, is entirely donor-sponsored. And I want to also say, as it says in the report, there will be copies of the report, the print report, for those of you who want it. We have a limited number, so if you'd like it, please do ask me. If you worked on the report, come to me and I will give you a copy. That's for sure. But I just want to make the point clearly that Ethical Traveler solicits nor receives any compensation from any country in the world or anyone affiliated with any of the countries that are up for this award. It is completely unbiased. And there's absolutely no financial consideration done at all. It's done purely as a public service. So I wanted to say thank you all once more for coming. And Christina will wrap up the formal part of the program.
Thank you.
So maybe just one more round of applause for the winning countries tonight. So we didn't have time for a Q&A, but I really encourage all of you to take your questions to the country representatives, to Jeff and Malia. Enjoy the reception. Have a good time. Our thanks to Malia Everette of Altruvistas and Jeff Greenwald, the founder of Ethical Traveler Ethical Destinations Awards. So thank you all for coming tonight. Enjoy the reception. Have a good time. Thank you.